Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to North San Diego Business at Large, where each week you'll meet some of the movers and shakers in the North San Diego County business community. North San Diego Business at Large is sponsored by Syndicating Your Content, where we bring traffic and income to your website. Visit syndicatingyourcontent.com for more information.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Deborah Simpson coming to you from Carlsbad, California. If any of our listeners are on Twitter, and especially if you're a North San Diego business owner, I'd appreciate you hitting the Tweet This button on the left and let your followers know about the show. If you have a question, you can feel free to call in. The number is 646-929-0096, or you can send me a question via the chat room. It is open. And if you like the show, you can follow the show by tapping the Follow Us button on the show page. Of course, you can always keep up with us via iTunes. So today my guests are Linda Amaro and Antoine Dedinian. They are the founders of Vava Vida, the co-founders. Vava Vida is a line of ethically made fashion jewelry items that give back. They only retail ethically made pieces of gorgeous, high-end quality craft artisan jewelry from all over the world. But they don't stop there, because 10% of their revenues go to nonprofit organizations such as Project Concern International, where their investments go to help empower women all around the globe. And when you empower a woman, you empower a community. So Linda and Antoine, it is so nice to have you on the show with me today, because I just absolutely love what you're doing. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. That's great to be on the show with you guys.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's really great to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you. I'm just fascinated with the whole idea of Vava Vida because of how it empowers women in third world countries. So, Antoine, can you tell me how this kind of came about, how Vava Vida came into being?
Right. This all started while I was a stay-at-home dad. I was looking for a job, and I was starting to be a bit frustrated with the job postings that were out there, or kind of the lack thereof. And at the same time, during the same period, I met a friend in a bar, very coincidentally, that I just ran into, and that ended up being Daniel Amaro, the third co-founder of Vava Vida. And we just started talking about what we wanted out of our careers, out of our future, what we wanted to achieve, and basically we kind of came up with the idea for Vava Vida over a couple of drinks during a really weird happenstance, you know, of running into each other in a bar. And after talking with Linda, we kind of solidified the idea of Vava Vida as it is today. So that's kind of how it came about.
And so, Linda, can you tell me, how does Vava Vida work?
Yeah, so one of the things that we recognized is that, you know, at the time that we began, unemployment was high across the nation, but we recognized that there was a much larger impact globally, that if we were feeling the pain here, there were other people around the world that were too, and we thought maybe there might be some way for everyone to benefit from it. So the way Vava Vida works is we buy products from co-ops around the world. And these are from co-ops that have been certified using fair trade best practices. So that gives us the assurance that the people are paid a fair wage for what they're doing. They've got good working conditions. I mean, things we take for granted, like lighting and ventilation. I mean, just airflow going through, having meal breaks. Those are things that we take for granted and assume everyone has. And in many of the countries where products are made, that is not the case. So being certified fair trade or using those practices, we're assured that they do have those things. And so we invest in those communities. They get to own their own designs. We pay them a fair wage or a fair value for the products they produce. And then we take and sell it on our website. And we also use it to raise funds for different organizations so that the women that are creating the products are actually investing into the projects that we're interested in. For example, we've done projects with the YWCA, with Children's Hospital, with the Women's Foundation, and with, you know, military. So we've got a wide gamut that these women get to invest back in by creating their product and reselling it and then donating money back.
Go ahead, Antoine.
Sorry. Now, the whole... our whole idea was to fight poverty, you know, to fight gender inequality. So we really wanted to focus on those ethical products, because most of the workers in the garment industry and the jewelry industry are women and young girls, and very often they're being taken advantage of. So the whole idea behind Valavida is to fight against the way the fashion industry is run. That's why our motto is a fair fashion coup, because that's what we want to do. We want to be fair to the workers that work with us and the co-ops that work with us. We want to be in the fashion industry because we like it, but we also want to mix things up. We don't want to do business as usual, you know, like the way sweatshops are run, et cetera, et cetera. We really wanted to have an active part in changing the way the fashion industry is run nowadays. So that's why we work with fair trade products, essentially. And about 80% of the products that we retail are made by women and young girls. So, not by young girls, but by women. I'm sorry. So that's, you know, the thing is to offer them a brighter future. So there you go.
Can you give me an example of how one woman, you know, how her life has been impacted by you putting this together and her having an opportunity to own her own business?
Yes. Well, there was in our collaboration with PCI. That's exactly what we wanted to know. We wanted to know about how. About the stories about the, you know, the women that all our donations are and our investments, I guess. So we consider them more investments than donations. But we wanted to know what impact it had on a woman's life in a, you know, in a very individual fashion. So there is this woman, Maweta, she's from Ethiopia, who actually was able to start a school because of the savings programs that were started because of the work that Project Concern International does and that we collaborate with. She was able to start that school because her husband had died, and she was not able to provide for herself anymore. Because of the conditions, you know, of economic conditions in Ethiopia, for a woman, it's sometimes difficult for her to find employment. So with the program, the Women Empowered Program of Project Concern International, she was able to start a business for herself, be empowered to change her own future, and to be able to keep the kids of the village in school.
Wow. And Linda, how many different countries are the women from that you're able to help? Are they more than just Ethiopia?
Oh, yeah. We've got around 7 countries right now, and we've got others that we would like to go into. But we've got women that we work with in Bulgaria, and their focus there of the work that they do with the money that they earn and generate is to take children off the streets and save them from being in the slave market or human trafficked. In India, we have a couple co-ops there that we work with, and there it's more of a community base. The widows in India aren't allowed to work and they're separated from their families. Most of them will migrate to a holy city, and the way in which they earn their place to sleep that night or their food is by singing for 8 hours a day prayers. And if they do it well enough, then people will throw them a coin. And that's how they live. And so we have a group that we work with that takes women off the streets, you know, in those conditions and give them a place, and then they're building an industry. Many of the women have been reunited with their children. So we've got Pakistan, India, Guatemala, Peru, and then in Africa we've got Kenya, Uganda. You know, we've got them throughout the world, and we're looking to continue to expand. We'd like to keep the program going and go even further.
How do they learn to make the jewelry?
Well, very often it's a trade they're already into. It's something that very often what happens, especially with India, because we are more aware of what goes on in India, but in the garment and jewelry industry, very often what happens is that they have to move away from their remote villages because they cannot find work or have enough to eat, you know, if they are stay there with their family. So very often what happens is that they have to move to New Delhi, to Calcutta, and, you know, things and cities of that nature. And the easiest industry they can get in without much training is the garment industry and the jewelry industry, right? So one of the co-ops that we work very often with in India is exactly what happened. It's a young woman who was tired of the way they were being treated by their current employer, reached out to a fair trade wholesaler, and they were able to take all the workers away from the current employer, start a new co-op, and start working with that wholesaler exclusively, wholesaler of fair trade products, right? And that completely transformed their life and completely transformed the way they were just working. So they fell into that trade, but now they are working for a really brighter future with a fair trade wholesaler.
That's incredible.
Go ahead, Linda. I want to add that, you know, in looking at how they do it, they don't use machines. So many of the things that we find in the stores today are machine-made or manufactured through, you know, processing. Each of the people that we work with, the cultures that are there have traditional methods of creating the products. So everything is handmade. It's amazing to me the fine work that they can do and how they craft their designs and how they actually stamp out things or, you know, engrave. It's all hand done. It's not by machine.
You know, I just for the listeners, I met Linda and Antoine through Connected Women of Influence. They came in and are part of our community over there. And I've had the privilege to purchase, and I also won a little contest. I'm astonished when you say that it's all handmade. I realize what it's like here in the States with the machines. But when I take a look at the piece of jewelry, the intricacies of some of the pieces are just phenomenal. And the way that they put the settings together for the rings and the pendants, it looks so perfect. It's amazing that they're actually doing this by hand, because it's got to be pretty labor-intensive, right?
Very. It's very labor-intensive. And if people go to our website, they'll see that we are very fairly priced. I mean, like this is what we wanted. You know, this is how we wanted to show that fashion can be done differently. Is that this doesn't have to be a high end, super exclusive item. No, this is fashion for everybody, and that comes at a human cost. You know, it's a fair price for items that have been made by hand, that have actually, you know, real been made in a very real way, you know.
Yeah, and just for the listeners, it's Vava Vida, V-I-D-A, so VAVAVIDA.com if you want to go take a look at it. How long has this term fair trade, ethical fashion retailer been around? Is this a new phenomenon, or has it been around for several years?
Well, it's been around for decades, actually. The fair trade system or the fair trade labeling system has been around since the 1970s, but it has taken hold in Europe much faster than it has taken hold here. And now it's starting to become kind of a staple of good practices in the U.S. Right? For example, it's very present in the produce industry and with coffee, with banana, et cetera, et cetera. But it's starting to get expanded to other areas such as fashion. And that's why we're doing this, doing what we're doing today, because we really want to be at the forefront of the change.
And do you think part of the growth of maybe fashion, and we're hearing more and more about it, is because of the younger generation that we refer to as the millennials? Because I know that they always have a give back, that they're much more interested in impacting society than maybe us boomers were.
Yeah, I believe you're right on the mark. In fact, one of our founders is a millennial, and Antoine's real close to it. And if you haven't distinguished yet, he definitely has an accent. He is not from here. He's from France. So the power with that, though, is that he brings a view to how we do things here in America, you know, and that's where fair trade, because for him it was like part of his everyday, and over here it's not. And so he was able to bring some of that knowledge and bring it forward for us to be able to look at what impact we could have in the world and what difference we could make. And that was part of the catalyst of what brought the whole business together.
Is there a consortium here in the States of other businesses that do that? Like, for instance, the chamber is around to help the local community get together, and there's a national chamber. Is there a national organization or regional organizations that you network with?
Principally, there's two. There is the organization called Fair Trade International that is in charge of labeling and conducting audits and certifications, et cetera, things of that matter for the Fair Trade label. There is also a very similar organization in the U.S. called Fair Trade USA. Fair Trade USA, on top of labeling and certifying businesses as fair trade, also enables universities and cities to become fair trade. Right here in San Diego, we have a city that's fair trade. And we have three universities out of four that are fair trade. And the fourth university is trying to convert to a fair trade university. La Mesa, for example, La Mesa is a fair trade city. And we work actually with them very closely. We are on the board, on the committee to organize events, et cetera. We participate in all the events related to fair trade, and we are trying to help the La Mesa committee for San Diego State to become a fair trade university. There you go.
Wow,
so,
La Mesa's one city. What are the other three cities that are fair trade cities here?
No, there's three universities. It's UCSD, USD, and Point Loma Nazarene are all fair trade universities in San Diego.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's a lot to kind of take in. So what is your vision for Vava Vida, and what goals do you have in helping impact other women?
Well, we want to stir things up. We want to make a real impact. We want to become a major brand. That's the hope. showing that you don't have to be H&M or Zara or The Gap to make fashion affordable, but also, you know, we want to have a real impact. What comes first for us is the mission. So, you know, we want to be the game changer in the fashion industry. That's a lofty goal, but, you know, without lofty goals, there's no success.
So here's one of the things to consider, that we work with these small co-ops
mm-hmm.
who have no way of getting their product out to the world. They don't have the financial backing of some of these big name brands.
Mm-hmm.
And Vala Vida is providing them an opportunity to get their wares out to the world. That's why we went with an online business versus having a brick-and-mortar store and establishment, is because we want to be able to reach more people. We want to be able to get the word out. These women don't have technology to be able to put together computer systems and have online stores. They just don't. We're providing that as a service to them. And that's part of what we want to do, is we've got to get the word out there, because if we're not selling products, they're not feeding their kids. That's the bottom line.
Right. And, you know, I will tell you, I love jewelry. And I love what you guys are doing. I love the jewelry that you're bringing in. And it is really, for me, to look at the pieces and to know that they're handmade, and then to see the pricing points that you have. It's such an incredible deal for us here to be able to have. These are really unique pieces, and to be honest with you, now that I know much more about the story, I now have a story to share when I'm wearing the different pieces. I wear the earrings and my white ring pretty much all the time. I just absolutely
nice.
Love those two pieces. And
that makes
I just
me happy to hear that. You have no idea.
I think it's phenomenal that you guys, I'm just really astonished that it's handmade. And it warms the cockles of my heart to be able to be part of it just by being a customer and purchasing it. So for the listeners who want to get to know how to find you and how to find the jewelry, I did give the website, but are there other ways that they can contact you with, maybe they have a connection to a fair trade organization that they'd like you to take a look at, or maybe they'd like to see if there's wholesale opportunities for their brick and mortar store? I think it's brilliant that you went
mm-hmm.
to the internet and that you're global, because you can reach so many more people and impact so many more people. But how would they contact you?
Well, they can email me personally. That's no problem. I'm always available for people so that want to reach out and just ask me a question. So, on our website, in the contact us page of valavida.com, there is a way for them to reach me personally. I read all the emails personally that come to us. So they're just through the contact us page, that'll be fine. It's on valavida.com. And they can also reach us through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We're always monitoring those platforms. And if someone leaves a comment, I will always respond. So you can always reach me through those channels as well.
And what do you have any resources that you're looking for here in the States that can help you move this movement forward?
What do you mean by resources? Can you clarify the question a little bit?
Well, I'm just thinking maybe small boutiques that are around town. I just come to think of some of the boutiques that are in Carlsbad Village. You know, I'm up in Carlsbad.
Mm-hmm.
Or larger, just resources. I don't know.
Yeah, that's our next step for this year. We are planning on just entering brick and mortar businesses that are already established, that already have a clientele, so that we can
mm-hmm.
Gain a bit more awareness. But right now we're an online business almost exclusively. We do some events for the La Mesa Fair Trade Committee and to promote fair trade around San Diego. We do events, but we're planning on doing on entering brick and mortar businesses this year. That's the plan.
So you are sort of spearheading this movement here to bring more awareness about the fair trade organizations as well then?
Yes.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's really great. So let me ask you this. What should I have asked you? Because there's so many things that I listen to and I'm trying to ferret out information, but what should I have asked you that I didn't ask you?
What is fair trade?
Oh, okay.
That's
what
a good
is
question
fair trade?
To start with.
Great.
Well, it's a labeling process. It's essentially it's kind of like a USD organic label that you see on a product. It's a way for the consumer to know that the product has been made ethically and at very little cost on the environment and no human cost. You know, it's not taking advantage of people. And it's not taking advantage of the environment. And you get products that are high quality and generally speaking at a fair price. For example, I don't know if you've heard, but Ben & Jerry's is, you know, the ice cream company is moving to, by the end, I think, of 2015, if I remember correctly, are moving to remove from their supply chain any product that, you know, like bananas and vanilla and sugars, et cetera, that is not 100% certified fair trade. So it's basically it's just about the way you shop, right? Same way you look at a label to count the calories and the sugars. You look at the product to see if there is a fair trade label on it. So that's what fair trade is. And there is a certification process with audits that the producers have to go through every year to make sure that the certification principles are respected.
And is that sort of the same definition, or do you have a different definition for ethical fashion retailer?
We use the term ethical because there is a tremendous education movement still to make to educate people about fair trade, to teach people about fair trade. So we use ethical instead of fair trade, just so that people can understand what we are doing. Without, so they can grab our concept within 2 seconds of accessing our website. But we would prefer to use the terminology fair trade, but it's still not something that's completely out of the gates and common knowledge, you know, in the U.S. So.
Yeah, one of the things to keep in mind is that fair trade, the movement, actually originated with farmers of creating coffee beans, you know, and staple goods and cotton. Some of it with oil from palm oil seeds so that you can actually cultivate the land rather than cut down the palm trees and destroy the forest. In fashion, it doesn't have that same thing where people can go in and actually look and see a tree. Fashion's a little bit different. So we're taking and applying the principles from fair trade, making sure that they're getting paid fair wages, that they have good working conditions, that they're not being taken advantage of, there's no child labor, they're being stewards of the land that they're producing their goods on. And we take and apply those same principles over into the fashion industry. And this is where the challenge is then, because most people don't realize when they go and they buy a garment what it's really taken to go into it and the human cost. And they will buy it because, you know, and to be quite honest with you, some of these can be some of the very most expensive items that you could buy, still are under the same conditions as the ones that you may find at a place that would be very inexpensive. The human capital for them is quite costly, and that's what we're trying to bring awareness to and why we've established the ethical fashion, because it needs to have a focus of its own. Very much like the coffee farmers had, fashion needs to have the same thing.
I just want to thank both of you for coming on the show today. It's been a fascinating conversation about fair trade and ethical fashion and the help and the work that you're doing to help these women establish themselves, take care of their own families, and have a much better quality of life than they would have had without you being there to bring their goods to people like me who really enjoy what they're making and cherish the opportunity to be able to help them. So, Linda and Antoine, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you.
That was an absolute pleasure, and we're always happy to share what we know about fair trade.
Well, thank you. And that is the show for today. You can join me every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific time. If you have an idea for the show, a business owner you think I should interview, or you just want to talk about the show, you can feel free to contact me. My number is 760-729-6647, or you can send me an email. My email address is Debra, D-E-B-R-A, at NorthSanDiegoBusiness.com. Until next week, I hope you have a safe and prosperous week. North San Diego Business at Large is produced by Debra Simpson and Syndicating Your Content, where we bring traffic and income to your website. Please feel free to leave your comments below.